The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? I'm back from vacation. It was great. Great moments in the family. Awesome news. Everything is going well. And we are back to the reality of the internet, which is filled with an InfoWars. An InfoWars around the Charlie Kirk assassination. I am exhausted at seeing the low-level fucking paranoia out there. The theories that are not productive. There's a way to be open-minded. But there's a way where your open-mindedness leads you toward absolutely unproductive directions. You know, most likely, if your theory about the murder requires rearranging the whole of reality, if it requires everything that the police has ever said about the subject to be reverted and turned out to be false, it's probably false. Like this idea that, oh, there was a secret gun, an old man scratched his shoulder and then Charlie Kirk's neck exploded. The idea that, oh, the agents are making signs, that those must be signs to the sniper. The idea that the camera could be a gun. And it's like, all of this requires massive amounts of rearrangements of reality. First, why would there be a fake sniper on a roof? In what circumstance do you take a gun with no intent to shoot, but somehow you are made into a patsy? Someone tells you, you have to take this gun and walk to the roof, but don't shoot. We have a camera shooting Charlie Kirk. Don't worry about the shooting. Just carry the sniper rifle. It's so unrealistic, and it's just false. It's false. We know it already based on the current, well, just analysis of the sound. Yes, it was. The shot didn't come from 2 meters. The shot definitely came from more than 100 feet by audio analysis, simply because there happens to be a delay between the transmission of light and sound. And some people are experts at just record the sound, record the instant where the hit happens, and they can gauge the distance of the gun just from this. And yes, it's compatible with not a gun that was close to Charlie Kirk, but a gun that was on a roof and far. I'm so exhausted because we have to dig through this shit and find the truth. And sometimes my instinct guides me better than 100 different tinfoil conspiracists out there. I find that what I said about the case 5 days ago, 4 days ago, 3 days ago, survives better than these fucking retards. And they are exposed within hours of making their claim. And Candace Owen is bringing some schizo stuff in there. You know, the idea of two people. Okay, interesting hypothesis. But two people, that will leave trace. If one person I'm looking at on one camera is a person, and the other camera captures another person with a different clothing, or is it the same person with the same clothing? This is going to lead to differences that the police is going to be able to capture, if not directly through the appearance of the person, based on biological measures, height, appearance, etc. Certainly on electronics and certainly on camera surveillance in the higher perimeter around the gas stations of town, on the gas stations to their way home. I want to be open, but most likely what we're getting is already the truth. And you have all this school of thought that questions the text. Oh, it's too weird. Like, bro, imagine being in the 1% top intelligence of America. Imagine your grades are better than 99% of the people in your generation. And imagine on top of it, you're a furry lover, you're gay, and you're willing to kill. This is not a normal person. Tyler Robinson is not a normal person. And I don't expect his communications through text to be normal. So all of this, this atmosphere of constant questioning of reality is very unproductive. And I'm suspecting that a lot of agents of confusion are being sponsored. I'm suspecting that there are people who are there with a mission to mess the public epistemology. And that makes me afraid, because I do have an interest in determining to which extent was the involvement of Israeli interest here. And by Israeli, I mean large. The government of Israel, that is one possibility. The billionaire Jews of America, that is one possibility. The networks, the networks of Antifa, crappy, bottom-feeding leftists in America. All of this, to me, is downstream of Jewish influence into America. And to those who say, well, you know, Nick Fuentes, for example, fully rejects for now the Israeli angle. He says, I'm waiting. I would like to see evidence that Israel has direct involvement in this. Well, that is kind of a very circumscribed denial. We know already that there were 3 to 6 different people who knew about the upcoming killing of Charlie. Now, it is impossible. Wherever there is a leak, there is an organization. Doesn't matter to me how the extent of this organization, but there's no reason this information would leak to 3 to 6 people. Where are these people? This is what I'd like to see from the FBI. Where are these people who have clearly tweeted in advance and posted on their Instagram or Facebook or whatever? I have seen many predated text messages that were announcing the death of Charlie Kirk, that were announcing that something important is going to happen tomorrow at the campus. Did they toast to the future violence? Because we all also have very clear evidence, well, witness testimony from now 2 different people. One, the family of Lance Twiggs, and 2, a neighbor of Lance Twigg interrogated by the New York Post. Both say there were weird cars that were starting to gather in the week that preceded and in the weeks that preceded the assassination. So we're still stuck with this information, which is now 2-3 days old. And is there an effort right now by the FBI to trace every single one of these cars and their owners? And what were they doing? What's their positioning in the LGBT community? Because the accounts have seen. They were gender non-binary. They all had something about the LGBT flag or the trans flag or whatever. So we have a group here. And on top of it, we now have the correlation with the plan of Tyler, because when Tyler gets asked by Lance Twiggs, when did you plan this? Tyler answers, about a week ago. Well, about a week ago is exactly when these cars are reported to have been at the home of Lance Twiggs. Why were there out-of-state plate cars in around the house of Lance Twiggs? What did they discuss? And why is it at that moment that the plan emerged in Tyler Robinson's mind to go kill Charlie Kirk? Apu Groyper says, did they say from which states the plates were from? If you look at a map, St. George, Utah is very close to Nevada and Arizona. So seeing plates from those states would not be too surprising. Oh, I mean, they didn't say which states it came from. They said, I saw those out-of-state plates and it didn't feel good. The people that were coming out of these cars didn't feel normal. And perhaps it's some form of bigotry, but doesn't matter at this point. Because even if they were not suspicious, they were there at the moment where the ID stemmed inside Tyler Robinson's mind, I'm going to kill Charlie Kirk. So it doesn't matter that whether the report is reliable. We need to know all cars that made it to this house. We need to know how many of those. We need to follow the gas stations around the house. And we need to look at their surveillance video. What attracted people to that street 1 week ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? Those are the important questions, which is why I'm trying to focus on the psychology of Tyler Robinson and Lance Twiggs, because I think it's what matters to determining the facts. Because clearly, Tyler Robinson, this is where if you start with a falsehood, you're completely beside the track. If you start with the falsehood, well, someone scratched his shoulder, so there must have been a gun under their hands. Then suddenly, the psychology of Tyler Robinson doesn't matter, because Tyler Robinson was just a patsy, sent on a roof, got trapped. But this is not the truth. The truth is he shot. And he sent messages that you may not like. And I'm going to we're going to go deep into the analysis of these text messages. You may not like them, but this is how a high intelligence person who knows he's going to be recorded by the police, who knows that these messages will make it to trial, this is how a high IQ person speak in text. To the point, autistic, technical, and very intentional about what he was trying to accomplish. So during my vacation, I had a lot of time to think about those messages and think about what's their meaning here. And I have come up with a theory of intent. What is the intent behind these messages that Tyler Robinson wrote to his roommate? And I believe there is three layers of intent. One is hypothetical. Two, I'm almost sure of. And so we're going to go through this. But this is, when I see these people, oh, Jeff, I can't believe you believe those texts. Well, what are you telling me here? That these texts were written by AI? That Kash Patel wrote these texts on an envelope, on the back of an envelope, and said, make it look like it comes from their phone. Like, the police is not going to get into such degrees of lies knowing that they're going to get caught down the line. These things leave traces. They leave permanent traces that can easily be proven wrong if the police was to mess. Now, I believe that these texts may be incomplete. I see dot, dot, dot on some parts. So, of course, they're part of a complaint, a criminal complaint. And maybe the dot, dot, dot will reveal more down the line. But you can't question everything. The police cannot put themselves in a situation where they make up something out of nowhere. They have to have a basis to believe that those texts are real. Now, let's get into the, are they theatrical? Yes, but I will explain why they are theatrical, why they would be, and why. What we're looking at is there's lots of degrees to understand to it. The first thing you have to understand is Tyler Robinson, and we've been analyzing this for since the very beginning. This assassination has all the trace of a man who thought he could get away with it. Unbelievable that in 2025, you think you can walk. You think you can walk to a Charlie Kirk speech, and you can get on a roof under all the cameras and all the surveillance and all the electronic surveillance. And you think you maybe if you shut down your phone at the right moment and make your walk from a place you parked your car at, you parked your car, but the actions are compatible at all times as the assassin thought he could get away with it. So Tyler Robinson took out all of the bullet casings, took out supplementary clothes to switch clothes in a hidden wooden area. He carried the rifle out of the shooting nest, which suggests that he wanted to eliminate evidence. Even at the place where he dropped the rifle in the woods, his intent was to come back to it, according to his messages. So at all points, he thought he could get away with it. And he is above average intelligence. So I guess that when you're told by the school system, wow, you outcompete everyone. Well, then if you outcompete everyone, maybe you can get away with murder. And I think that the degree of intelligence of Tyler Robinson was probably good enough to get away with murder, but not good enough to get away with that murder. That murder is, you're almost certain to get caught because it's too public and there's too much police effort immediately. To get away with murder, you need moments of lack of scrutiny. You need isolation. You need days or months during which the police will not be alarmed, then you can get away with it. But to get away with a sniper assassination, I don't think that's doable, even at high intelligence. Sunk to the Nuts says, we're all here grinding it out on our leather asses, and Papa JF's on vacation conjuring up his ultimate crime evaluation. Ha. Well, I'm trying to be a voice of advanced analysis that gets it right before everyone. And look, this is what I wrote. This was on September 13. This is 5 days ago. This still stands. This is still what I would tell you today. The pieces of the puzzle are falling into place. Tyler's mom trained her autistic son to mask with hyper socialization to please the female with falsely generated normie reactions. A trans boyfriend exploited this feature, sending female signals to enslave Tyler's mind to their goal. Mess up society, create the most destructive meme ever, the killing of Charlie Kirk. In Tyler's autistic mind, he was acting out of love and empathy. We now have very strong evidence for this. All I care about is you, my love. He writes in a message. I said these things. We didn't have the messages. And I go through, yeah, Tyler was basically a robot kind of Terminator personality that wanted to accomplish things to impress his mom. And eventually, when he converted to life with his gay boyfriend, he wanted to do the same for his boyfriend. He wanted to be the best of the class. He wanted to be a murderer for his boyfriend. And so it's a flower bouquet style of love, of a gift of love that he wanted to give to his roommate, which is also why his roommate was one of the first to know about the event. And so I want you to look at these texts with the idea that try to track three motivations of Tyler Robinson. At the moment that he writes these texts, at the beginning, Tyler Robinson thought he could get away with it. But I think that as soon as he starts texting, or maybe at some place in the discussion, he is surrendering. He is abandoning the idea that he's going to get away with it. So there's the first thing that Tyler says, which is not on that particular JPEG, but it's in the criminal complaint. He says, stop what you're doing right now and go check under my keyboard. And the complaint claims that under the keyboard, there was an admission that said a written message by Tyler Robinson saying, I had an opportunity to kill Charlie Kirk and I took it. I believe there could have been other things under the keyboard. And so let's try to put away the fact that there's this message, because what happened is that Lance Twiggs, nervous, burnt the message, destroyed it. Now, this tells me Lance Twiggs was not fully understanding the plan at that moment. And perhaps there was something else with the message that was a gift to Lance Twiggs. Because if you're going to admit in a text conversation that you're the killer, and he does so in the next sentence, why would you be so pressing on stop what you're doing right now and go check under the keyboard? I believe that Tyler Robinson, at the moment he decided to write to Lance Twiggs, it's because he realized, I have to do this transfer of something to Lance Twiggs. And I believe it could be Bitcoin seed words. I believe it could be information of contact of someone else, perhaps. I believe it could be all sorts of things. But I doubt that the message itself was justifying this kind of alarmism. Because if you say, stop what you're doing right now, I need you to go get what's under my keyboard. If you're going to say in the next sentence, I'm the killer, then what's the value of going under the keyboard? Under the keyboard would just be the equivalent of the admission you're ready to make on the phone. So the letter being alone, to me, doesn't fit. And I hope that the police are onto this. I hope that the police are, they have put all monitorings around Lance Twiggs. And I hope that they're trying to guess what else was under this keyboard. Was it a Bitcoin account for Lance Twiggs to be able to do his trans surgery? Was it a Bitcoin account for transferring potentially reward money for the shooting? Because if there were six people out there knowing about this, that tells me there was the potential for organization, preparation, radicalization, and financialization of this murder. The reason you end up having leaks, the reason you end up having secondary staff people or people relatively unrelated to the murder knowing about it and being excited about it enough to say it on their Twitter account, that tells me there could have been something else under the keyboard. And the fact that the claim is that there was only a message acknowledging guilt, why would you make it an urgency if you're willing to acknowledge guilt in your next sentence? I'm sorry. There's no reason why this piece of paper was so important then, because you're willing to say it on the text. I bet there was something else under the keyboard, and perhaps there were even instructions like, please act surprised and ask me on the phone why I did it. Or, Lance, I'm about to admit to you in text that I have killed Charlie Kirk. Please act completely normal, as if you didn't know that I was going to do it. Something like this, a set of instructions on the theatrical performance to come, may have been under Lance Twiggs' keyboard, under Tyler Robinson's keyboard. So I want you to track three interests in this conversation with the idea that, okay, whatever was under the keyboard, that was the first goal of this conversation. Because Tyler Robinson opened it by saying, right now, go under my keyboard immediately. Stop what you're doing. So first motivation of Tyler, I had to transfer this item to Lance Twiggs. Second motivation of Tyler, I need to provide an alibi, a story of innocence to Lance Twiggs. So you're going to see that what develops is a theatrical understanding between the two interlocutors, where Tyler is getting Lance Twigg to ask questions. Why? Why did I did it? To make it clear through the conversation, knowing that the police will look at this, to make it clear, Lance Twiggs didn't know. So innocence of Lance Twiggs is what is intended through this conversation. And then third, I believe that there could have been an awareness by Tyler Robinson that there was going to be reward money. And suddenly, whether he gave Bitcoin or not to Lance Twiggs under the keyboard, whether or not that happened, certainly at some point Tyler Robinson started understanding, I'm going to get caught and there's money. And suddenly, Tyler Robinson wanted that money to get to Lance Twiggs. Was it an addition to the already existing Bitcoin? Was it an addition to a potential payment for the murder? Those are hypotheses. But certainly, Tyler Robinson at some point had abandoned the idea of getting away with it. And it's at that point that he's in contact with Lance Twiggs. And he's trying to seed information into Lance Twiggs that will give him a first positioning in terms of getting the reward. So a lot of people have been saying, how would he be so detailed in his admission? Because he wanted to cause Lance Twiggs to have the reward money. And you'll see that at some point he starts understanding, oh, My dad is now pushing me toward the police. I need to delay stuff. I need to... He tries not answering his dad. Eventually, he tries the route of, well, we're going to go see a friend and consult him to surrender. But all of this, to me, is meant to place Lance Twigg at the forefront of the investigation and put Lance Twiggs in a position where he can contribute to the investigation enough that he's going to get a part of the reward. I believe that at some point, Tyler Robinson starts being scared that his father is doing so much to get him to jail. Not that he's scared going to jail. He has accepted he's going to end up there. But he's starting to be afraid that his dad may get the reward. And that's why, while his dad is planning the whole surrendering, he immediately sends a message to Lance Twiggs and places him in a position to get the reward. Now, for that, you have to understand that Tyler Robinson will have said things in those messages that he didn't believe and that he didn't want Lance Twiggs to believe. So when he says, don't go see the police, don't talk to the police. If they interview you, just ask for the right to remain silent and talk to a lawyer. I believe that may be coded language. I believe that may be Tyler Robinson knowing, you know what, my psycho trans boyfriend is psycho enough to understand that he has to do the exact contrary of what I'm telling you. My psycho boyfriend is knowledgeable enough. He would have seen the reward. Now, my job to make sure that he gets the reward is to make it clear that there's no such plans going on. Because the one way in which you can cancel a reward is to show that there was some sort of complacency, some sort of conspiracy happening between the murderer and the person getting the reward. So I believe that what this... The third motivation of Tyler Robinson in this conversation is exonerate Lance Twiggs from any suspicion that he is part of a conspiracy to get the reward, which is 100,000 from the FBI, and some people added another 100,000, I think. And then Ackman, Bill Ackman, who was the billionaire Jew that is working alongside Charlie Kirk in the summer, where Charlie Kirk decides to investigate whether TPUSA will take a more or less pro-Israel stance, and he seems to be headed toward less. So Bill Ackman has set up with Charlie Kirk all of these focus groups where we're going to talk to the next generation. We're going to see, we're going to outreach with the youth and see what do they think about Israel. How could we approach the Israel question from a different angle? That Bill Ackman, who is believed by Candace Owens and by the Gray Zone guy, you know, people say that those people are not reliable. I'm willing to trust that they're not reliable. But still, these people have a claim that something went wrong between Charlie Kirk and Bill Ackman and his whole surrounding, and that this dinner that they organized in the Hamptons turned to some degree of shit on the basis of Charlie Kirk being not pro-Israel enough. Now, I absorb these truths as maybe, because Candace Owens is a psycho, but Candace Owens comes out sometimes with valid stuff and valid hypotheses. And here she apparently has released exclusively a picture of Tyler Robinson at the Dairy Queen after the murder, 6:38 p.m. in Orem. So interesting. I mean, not everything that comes from Candace Owens must be false. So I'm absorbing these truths as, okay, the claim is there. But all of this to say, Bill Ackman somehow, you know, after being involved with a summer of let us try to direct Charlie Kirk there, or maybe maybe try to guide the new generation there with influencers and buying them out, Bill Ackman puts $1 million on whoever will find the shooter of Charlie Kirk. And my big worry when I look at this entire scheme, it's like, what if this $1 million is ultimately knowingly being paid for the murder of Charlie Kirk? What if Bill Ackman in his mind told himself, you know what? I'm gonna throw $1 million in this Utah direction, and I think it's gonna trickle down to the right people no matter what. Maybe it's gonna be the father of the shooter, maybe it's gonna be the boyfriend of the shooter. But somehow by just throwing $1 million, it will end up trickling down in a way that will settle to the right people. And now I'm extremely afraid of this hypothesis. First, because I don't know to which extent the police are investigating it, but also because it would mean effectively that Tyler Robinson got what he wanted. Maybe not in the way he wanted, but he got what he wanted. Because Tyler Robinson says it in his message, "You're all I care about, my love." And the neighbors had overheard a conversation in which, yes, he was about to get a sex change surgery. Now, those things are very costly. So when he says, "You're all I care about, my love, and I just killed someone, and don't interact with the police, and go get what's under my keyboard," I'm afraid that within all this, there is a scheme for payment of Lance Twiggs, and a scheme specifically for him to have just enough money to get a good trans surgery, because to look feminine after a trans surgery, you need to spend a lot of money. If you want the Blair White treatment, it's certainly $1 million, the Blair White treatment. So take note of everything I've just mentioned, which is the space of hypotheses and motivation. And let's understand what's written under these texts. So the first thing he had said before this is, go immediately under my keyboard, stop what you're doing. A And the roommate responds, "What? You're joking, right?" Robinson says, "I am still okay, my love, but I'm stuck in Orem for a little while longer yet." So Orem is the big city where I don't know if technically the campus is on there, but anyways, it's the city in the surroundings where they were at the moment, where Robinson was at the moment of the shooting. "It shouldn't be long until I can come home, but I gotta grab my rifle still. To be honest, I had hoped to keep this secret till I died of old age. I am sorry to involve you." So this is an early point in the conversation. This admission is probably made at a point where Tyler has not fully realized that he's going to get caught. He still has a hope to get back to his rifle. So this is a very early point. This was probably sent not so long around the time where Tyler is confirmed to be at a Dairy Queen at 6:38 p.m. So he's at a Dairy Queen and he is already admitting the shooting to Lance Twiggs. And the roommate says, "You weren't the one who did it, right?" Robinson says, "I am. I'm sorry." Roommate says, "I thought they caught the person." Robinson says, "No, they grabbed some crazy old dude, then interrogated someone in similar clothing. I had planned to grab my rifle from my drop point shortly after, but most of that side of town got locked down. It's quiet, almost enough to get out, but there's one vehicle lingering." So let's note some things here. On people saying, why would he admit this? Perhaps he trusts Lance Twiggs at that moment. Perhaps he's already, and he mentions some of this, he's already starting to believe he's going to get caught anyways. So he's already abandoning the perfect story. Perhaps he is under an encrypted form of communication with Lance Twiggs, which he trusts will not be accessed by the police. Perhaps it took Lance Twiggs to open up his signal for the police to access them. Perhaps he is not knowledgeable in technology. Or perhaps he trusts signals and he trusts Lance Twiggs. Or perhaps he is starting to abandon the perfect murder because he's already saying, I'm worried about the rifle being left there because there's fingerprints. But he is certainly aware of the news because he follows the news enough to know that they arrested someone that they then released. So that's at least 10 hours, 12 hours after the shooting. So that means this is probably happening during the night, this conversation. Certainly, because when they took the old guy, this was revealed quickly that the boomer was not the shooter. But then the second guy that they arrested, they released him late in the night, if I can remember, or next morning. So we have some time has passed here, and he's probably thinking of using his nightly time, where perhaps there will be less police cordons, less surveillance, to go grab the rifle back to make it a perfect murder in his head that will have left no trace. Paladin YYZ sends a super chat. Thank you so much for the support. He says, I think that Israel would be insulted that everybody thinks they played no role in the assassination. Like a bank robbery goes down and everybody says Jesse James couldn't have done it. Yes, I mean, this is important to consider because I've not taken a position yet. I have not seen evidence that makes Israel guilty. So I have not stated up to now whether Israel is involved or not. I'm waiting evidence. And there's a certain number of things that I'm expecting before I would take a position. I need to know who were those out-of-plate license plates, who were those trans and non-binary people knowing about the murder in advance, who were the radicalization forces in the history of Tyler Robinson. And to what extent is there a payment or money being currently hidden, but to what extent was there a payment under that keyboard? Unless I have responses to these four questions, I cannot evaluate the likelihood of all this, or I cannot state an affirmative position on the involvement of Israel or American Jewry or whatever. Now, what you mentioned is how I think. It's like asking me to believe that Israel has no role in this shooting whatsoever is kind of out there from just a statistical perspective. Because it's like, what is the involvement of Israel in American politics and historical American politics for the last few decades? It's literally 100%. So if you're asking, like, I am an open-minded guy. I am willing to consider that the assassination of Charlie Kirk was the first non-Jewish event, purely between whites event in the history of American politics of the last 60 years. I'm willing to take that belief. I'm willing to give that belief a shot. But you're fighting against odds, my friends. You're fighting against a wind of mathematical odds. Because when I see that there's 3 to 6 people who knew about this assassination, that these 3 to 6 people were non-binary trans type community, what are the chances out of 6 random trans people that you pick that there's not a Jewish person, that there's not someone who's had previous contact with Mossad, that there's not someone who's had previous employment with some degree of Jewish firms and Jewish billionaires? Now you're entering a space of odds of the kind of getting hit by lightning. Now you're demanding a lot of credulity from Papa JF's open mind. And I still keep an open mind. I am willing at the end of all this to say, you know what? Israel had nothing to do with this. I am still considering this one of my hypotheses. But that would be a historic moment. The moment America became sovereign from Jewish intervention may have been the killing of Charlie Kirk. The one political event in the history of America where no Jew had any say. Paladin sends a super chat. He says, I half expect Charlie to appear to a bunch of rabbis in Jerusalem and they attempt to usher him in as the new Messiah. Oh, so you expect a resurrection? No, the resurrections can't happen in 2025. There's too many cameras. Okay, I'm sorry. So then he shows here that he knows about the news. I would like to grab my raffle from my drop point shortly after, but most of that side of town got locked down. It's quiet, almost enough to get out, but there's one vehicle lingering. So one police vehicle lingering. Again, I believe that the motivation in Tyler Robinson is starting to form to make this an admission to his boyfriend, starting to form with the idea that, hey, if there's a reward to be had, let it be to my boyfriend. The roommate says, why? Robinson says, why did I do it? The roommate says, yeah. Robinson says, I had enough of this hatred. Some hate can't be negotiated out. If I'm able to grab my rifle unseen, I will have left no evidence. Going to attempt to retrieve it again. Hopefully they have moved on. I haven't seen anything about them finding it. So is it overconfidence here? Is it trust of the partner? Or is it already a Tyler Robinson who has abandoned and knows he's going to get caught, so he's just giving the premium treatment to his boyfriend, at least at least my boyfriend will know how it all happened, and at least I should inform him so that he's not too nervous about it. Or is it that Tyler Robinson believed we are on Signal, these messages will self-destruct within 24 hours, so I have nothing to fear, I can be fully opened, it's an encrypted line of communication. And perhaps it ended up being an encrypted line of communication that Lance Twiggs didn't properly delete, didn't properly hide, and Lance Twiggs showed to the police. All of these possibilities are still up there. But that is a very early communication. We have a dot, dot, dot here, and now we enter something that probably happened hours later, a discussion that happened hours later where we have a different Tyler Robinson. First, the roommate says, how long have you been planning this? So here, plenty of theatrical opportunities left to the roommate, and here Tyler Robinson is happy because the roommate is getting in the game. How long have you been planning this? These questions, they show, well, they are meant, intentionally meant, to demonstrate a lack of knowledge, a lack of advanced knowledge. But explain to me this. How is it that random trans people unrelated to or distantly related to Tyler Robinson know about the murder, but Lance Twiggs doesn't? How is that possible? One of the great mysteries of this case. How do you have a leak in the distant, larger Antifa trans community of Utah, but the boyfriend doesn't know? And there's an easy solution to all this, to this big mystery. What we're looking at is arranged theater. What we're looking at is intentional Robinson intentionally creating an opportunity to say, hey, you know, Lance Twiggs, I'm leaving him behind, but I have to give him what's under my keyboard so he's well cared for, maybe. I have to give him an opportunity to create a record of innocence that he can choose whether he will delete. If they're on Signal, then the NSA doesn't have access to it. The central of phones doesn't have access to this info. The internet doesn't have access. If they are on Signal or something similar, or they assume there's end-to-end encryption in whatever they're using, then what Tyler Robinson is doing here is giving an option to Lance Twiggs. I'm going to get this whole intentional theatrical discussion in which you pose as innocent, in which you ask questions like you didn't know. And I'm going to let you decide what you do with it. If you want to go get the reward, go get the reward, show it to the police. If you want to keep it secret, keep it secret. I don't care anymore because I'm in the direction of getting caught. I've dropped my rifle. There will be fingerprints. Now I'm starting to get called by my father. Clearly, I'm in trouble. But I want to create this opportunity for you to be cleared of the trouble. So Robinson plays the part here. How long have you been planning this? A bit over a week, I believe. I can get close to it, but there is a squad car parked right by it. I think they already swept that spot, but I don't want to chance it. So here Robinson is being overly autistic about describing his problems, his issues in trying to recover the rifle. And this, again, if you interpret it in the theatrical way, it makes total sense. He's trying to create a record where, hey, Lance Twiggs knew nothing about the plan. I had to give him so much information for him to even understand. I had to explain to him why I did it. I had to explain to him that I was planning this for a week. I had to explain to him every detail of my attempt at recovery of the rifle. So ultimately, he's trying to paint here an intentional picture of a truly innocent Lance Twiggs that is merely wondering, why is Tyler not home? Where's my husband? You know, they're trying to look like a normal family from the perspective of Lance Twiggs. Frog Eyes says, who would be crazy enough to send the BTC reward, though? If you send first, you get scammed by some fake dark web hitman. If you send after the deed is done, you're stupid because now you've implicated yourself. There's plenty of ways from the dark web to obtain Bitcoin unsourced to your identity. There's plenty of ways. You can just straight out use XMR. You can use pirate currencies of all kind that keep no trace of the branch of owners. And there are Bitcoins who are from other countries where they are effectively untraceable to the people sending them. So it's entirely possible that an assassin would be paid by Bitcoin after the fact. It's entirely possible that an assassin would have the conviction, I'm going to get paid because I have something. I have some info that I can use as leverage, even from inside the jail, to expose my IRAs. So it's possible that someone goes to Tyler Robinson and says, I want you to do this killing. I want it to be totally your weapons. You have to provide your own weapon because I don't want to be involved. But I'm going to deposit BTC in an account of your choosing, even if you are jailed. And I do so because I want you to be able to transfer that money to a loved one, even if you're in jail. It's entirely possible as a scenario. And it's entirely possible that someone has control over Bitcoins that are so dark that they don't lead to his bank account. Esoteric Drifter says, is saying he doesn't know if the rifle had a serial number is a good detail to make it seem like he genuinely just did this on a whim. Yes, we'll get to that part. So we're at the part where Tyler Robinson abandons the idea of recovering the rifle. Robinson then thinks. Now, that's more of a moment where Robinson has accepted that it's not going to be the perfect murder. I'm wishing I had circled back and grabbed it as soon as I got to my vehicle. I'm worried what my old man would do if I didn't bring back Grandpa's rifle. I don't even know if it had a serial number, but it wouldn't trace to me. I worry about prints. I had to leave it in a bush where I changed outfits, didn't have the ability or time to bring it with me. I might have to abandon it and hope they don't find prints. How the fuck will I explain losing it to my old man? Only thing I left was the rifle wrapped in a towel. So here you have Tyler jungling. He's still in the mentality of, how will I explain this to my father? Maybe he hasn't realized the extent to which, no, you're not going to get away with a lying explanation. The system is funneling down onto you. There's no chance you can get out. And it's not even the fact that you just left the rifle. Even without the rifle in the wood, they would have gotten to you. But is it Tyler truly being so naive that he doesn't feel this funneling yet? Or is it Tyler still in a theatrical mode? Still in a theatrical mode here, dropping so many details because in his head, he's talking to the police. In his head, he's like, this is what Lance Twiggs will be providing so much to the police that Lance Twiggs ultimately will be the one with a reward. Now, I don't know. Are we at a time where the reward had been announced or not? The timestamps are very important on those texts. If the reward had already been announced, then Tyler Robinson will have read about it because he read about so many other things. Was the reward announced at the moment he sent that tweet, that text? That would tell us a lot about the state of intent. And then this is very weird as a sentence. Remember how I was engraving bullets? The fucking messages are mostly a big meme. If I see notices bulge woo-woo on Fox News, I might have a stroke. All right, I'm going to have to leave it. That really fucking sucks. So this, remember how I was engraving bullets. This is either extremely naive incrimination of his partner, or it is triple layer meta trade-off in what Tyler Robinson is trying to theatrically accomplish. So here's the thing. Let's have the model of Tyler Robinson being a naive guy. Tyler Robinson is naive. He doesn't understand that these texts will be read by the police. He thinks there's end-to-end encryption or whatever. And somehow, so therefore, he doesn't care and he reveals something that is fundamentally implicating his roommate. Because then the question will be, well, you saw your roommate engraving bullets and you didn't inquire further. You didn't make a mental health check on him. You didn't ask him if he wanted to commit political violence. And to all this, I would say, you know, you could get away with this. It's not you're not necessarily going to be found guilty of, say, negligence just because your roommate was engraving bullets, because there's an easy defense to this. Well, I saw my roommate engraving bullets, but he's always been doing that, you know? And this actually comes from a PC game that we had where we were playing that PC game and there were engraved bullets with some signs, and he was just doing this for fun. I never thought it could mean that he wanted to commit political violence. So it's not so incriminating as people say it. It could be fine. And therefore, we enter the meta-layer theatrical interpretation of this sentence. Now, that makes a lot of sense. Because by giving, by whispering to Lance Twiggs, talk to the police about my engraved bullets, then he's giving Lance Twiggs unique knowledge that will place him certainly as a primary witness, having seen the act of engraving the bullets. And at the same time, he's explaining, you know, it's all mimetics. It's just, I'd love to see it on Fox News. I would laugh my ass off. Haha. So they're, at the same time, they are communicating, they're laughing my ass off, their perspective on the murder, but they are also sharing unique information that will give value toward the police. We have a couple of questions on the chat and a super chat on entropy. Wahed says, almost every part on a K98 has at least part of the serial number, and they know when to whom the military lots were sold. Maybe only two hops are known. Yeah, it was a grandpa's rifle, so it was pretty old. So there may be space for it not to have been traceable. But actually, as it turns out, the grandpa recognize his own rifle on the news. That's pretty amazing. Sunk to the Nuts says, Papa JF, don't you find it absolutely disqualifying that there are no timestamps for the messages? Is this not evidence of FBI involvement or at least influence? Well, no, because it's the narrative built in a complaint. So in a complaint, you have to bring the facts without all the extra. So, yeah, you will remove timestamps, maybe, or you will mention the time at which the conversation begins at the top of the complaint. But so those are lines in a complaint. Please understand, we will get to see more records once we see the evidence appendices, which will come later, maybe. For now, it's a journalist that got a camera shot on the complaint, and he recorded everything he could. And that's what he could record. There were no timestamps on what he was able to record. But we'll get the raw data from all this later in the trial. Aaron Tenor Bray says, then again, Tyler must be pretty dumb if he fucks troops and can be convinced to kill someone in broad daylight. Darko Malfoy has sent a super chat. Thank you so much on Entropy. He says, Jeff, In my opinion, you give Tyler's intelligence too much credit. He, after all, was confounded and enraged by very basic intuitive biology, that there are two sexes. Well, this is one of the consequences of intelligence. The problem with intelligence is that you have a range of different emotional attitudes built around your intelligence. And to become very, very high intelligence, this is the problem of the moral signal. This is what I talk about in my second book, which is not out yet. Not close to be out, unfortunately. But the problem is you have to open your brain to learn things, to become knowledgeable, to become intelligent, to become capable of demonstrating superior abilities. Now, this opening of your brain is leaving control leaks exposed. Now you become manipulable. Now the doors that you've opened, suddenly bad signals are coming in. That is the reason why they say homosexuals are on average higher IQ. It's not the real, it's kind of misphrased. It's real. But what's happening is that higher IQ people are more likely to be sheepishly turned away from their biological interest by false signals, because they have a trade-off in their brain which opens door, which may be fully closed. You know how is a 80 IQ, 90 IQ, just stupid guy? You know, you can have this confidence that they will never be gay, because it's like, oh yeah, this guy is dumb as fuck. He's never going to come with anything intelligent, but I can be confident that he's never going to try to be gay or think that he's gay. Somehow, low intelligence is sometimes a protection. That's why my type of intelligence, I enjoy it when it's combined with stubbornness and an ability to self-learn and then close the doors. Because if you don't have the autistic stubbornness, you're going to be misled somewhere. And Tyler Robinson, I believe, had some kind of autism, but probably not as hard, not hard enough that he needed a little more. That's what I would say. Tyler Robinson needed a little more of that Asperger rejection of others, because he got swallowed by memes. That is the story of Tyler Robinson. Prout says, it's the extreme right and left of the bell curve meme. Exactly. So yes, Darko Malfoy, he was confounded, but not on an intelligence point. It doesn't require being intelligent to know that males are males and females are females. It requires a kind of moral needle of sorts, and a biological one, but not an intelligence-based one. It doesn't require any IQ to have this belief that females are females and males are males. So there's this weird sentence, which is not clear. Judging from today, I would say Grandpa's gun does just fine. I don't know. I think that was a 2K scope. So here, probably Robinson bragging about the workings of his rifle, and then Robinson saying, delete this exchange. My dad wants photos of the rifle. He says Grandpa wants to know who has what. The feds released a photo of the rifle, and it is very unique. He's calling me right now, not answering. So that is at a time where Robinson is starting to feel the heat. But again, is he truly saying delete this exchange? Or is he whispering to an already arranged boyfriend who he knows is a psycho, who he knows is a radical? Because if the boyfriend had radical fights with his family, certainly the boyfriend spoke radically to Tyler also. Certainly they had radical conversations. So when you know that you're with a radical, you know that you can say stuff that they would understand is the inverse. When you know you're with a true radical, you can have confidence in your couple that, you know what, I'm going to say this. She's going to understand that I'm kidding. She's going to understand that she has to do the exact opposite of what I'm saying. Now, this can happen. It may have been that these, because we have here two people who have been picking fights with their own family based on independent reports. So you have the family of Tyler saying, yeah, you know, he was coming at dinner table and saying all this gay stuff. And you have the family of Lance Twiggs who say, you know, he was coming at dinners and saying all these radical leftist LGBT talking points. So these two, when they speak to each other, they must have some degree of intel agent type of organization where they have code words, they have ways of saying. And when they act like normies, like they do in this very artificial conversation, this tells me that we're faced with a theater here. There is much more going in terms of communication under the words, under the sentences. So here, is it Robinson being genuinely worried he's going to get caught, or is it Robinson knowing that he's going to get caught and therefore being theatrical about it to further the interest of his boyfriend? Robinson says, since Trump got into office, my dad has been pretty diehard MAGA. I'm going to turn myself in willingly. One of my neighbors here is a deputy for the sheriff. So definitely from here, we have a moment where, okay, dad is starting to make pressure, and then dad has now called me out, and it looks like I'm going to surrender. I do have to surrender. So that would be the moment where Robinson knew there is nothing I can do. My dad is going to bring me by force if I don't surrender voluntarily. And then Robinson says, you're all I worry about, my love. Roommate says, I'm much more worried about you. Robinson says, don't talk to the media, please. Don't take any interviews or make any comments. If any police ask you questions, ask for a lawyer and stay silent. Again, very possible interpretation of all this is theater. Robinson wants his roommate to have the reward. He is not talking honestly. He knows that his roommate has some secret knowledge from under the keyboard. Now, one of the reasons he may say this in the first degree also is don't take interviews or make any comments because I've already cared for you. I've given you what's under my keyboard. What if what's under the keyboard is $1 million worth of BTC? What if what's under the keyboard is 100K worth of BTC? I don't know. So we have the two explanations here that are still valid. Either Robinson is being theatrical and he is actually wanting Lance Twiggs to talk to the police, but he's talking in such normie ways that he knows Lance Twiggs will understand. And maybe there was literally instructions under the keyboard that was telling Lance Twiggs, do not believe that the conversation that's about to happen between us is real. Do not listen to what I will say. Do go to the police or you know, do the contrary of what I'm going to say. Maybe there was some instruction like this under the keyboard. In any case, that would seem to be the end of the exchange, at least as far as what we have. I believe that with these dot, dot, dots would be very informative. But where these dot, dot, dots are, I would like to know, was there other conversation or is it just that there was some time passing? What do these dot, dot, dot mean? For now, they are dot, dot, dots being inserted in the complaint, so we don't have the raw data from the phones. Fractalit says, all this is the typical narrative of my parents were so intolerant, so I became a degenerate sociopath to compensate. these people have a victimization complex. We've seen it in further works on their internet accounts. They have stories of, oh, well, I was from such a conservative Mormon family, and they're so evil. They're so conservative. They don't accept my lifestyle, my sexuality. We've heard things like this from Lance Twiggs on his Reddit. There were signs that similar conflicts were arising between Tyler Robinson and his parents at dinner. His mom particularly tells the story of he was coming home. He was bringing all these homosexual arguments. Since he was with his boyfriend. So it seems that Tyler Robinson was hanging out on those very, very gay furry games that are basically furry gay porn. So what seems to me to have happened is Tyler Robinson was chronically online. He felt in a weird porn direction on the internet, and it brought him into getting sexually excited at the idea of furries and gays and trans. And he found in Lance Twiggs his first big love. Maybe he had some degree of gay sex before, but he found in Lance Twiggs, he really fell in love with Lance Twiggs, and Lance Twiggs kind of pulled his psychopath best performance to bring him into radicalism around beliefs around homosexuality and LGBT and fascism. So that's how I see the rising Tyler Robinson rising into his kind of oppositional son of a Mormon family. And by binding with Lance Twiggs was training him to be oppositional toward his conservative family, which is why the mother felt, you know, he got his gay boyfriend and then he started coming and yapping at us against our conservative value. But the whole rest of the family is MAGA and pro-Trump and conservative. So that's how I see the discussion, which is why I hope that the police is capable of forgetting about the fog of war and all of these conspiracies emerging on the internet and concentrate on what was under the keyboard. What was the true motivation behind this conversation? Was it a mounted theatrical performance for the purpose of obtaining rewards? At what time would this conversation happen? And is it in line with Tyler being aware that there may be a way to direct the reward toward his roommate? And what were the out-of-state license plates that met? And who are the people who knew about the assassination? Those are the five questions that absolutely are determinants for this case in understanding, was there wider influence? Was there a toast made to future violence? Why did we end up with Twitter accounts that knew about this? And that's pretty much it. That's it for tonight. Marby Dog says, how do you fall in love with a butthole? That is the question.